All right, welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 714. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Shut it down. Shut down the government. Shut down the podcast. Just shut everything down.
Shut it all down. Jeff is here.
Free Palestine.
Okay.
Shut that down, too.
We're all going to be deported. Thanks, Jeff. Wonder where they'll send me. So, it's been another shitty week.
Welcome to America.
Yep. Where we run ads for car companies on the White House lawn. So,
I'm sure you guys have gotten the ad on your teams telling you about how great that Trump is, that he cleaned up the illegals.
I did. I have not seen that, but I don't watch a lot of live TV. I don't watch TV.
I don't watch any live TV, so I would not see it either.
Okay, watch TV for the last month at least. It's not over the last week. This is last month. Very common to get an ad where it's Chris, and because she's Homeland Security now. She's President Trump has cleaned up the filth out of this country, and if you're illegal, this message is for you. You could get out now, leave now, and you might have a chance to come back. But if you stay, you will get kicked out, and you'll never come back. And it's like this 30-second spot that they spent your tax dollars on, about $100 billion, I think.
Oh, $100 billion on that ad.
Yes,
Jesus Christ!
I'm pretty sure it's illegal, but they did it, and. Why not?
We needed to spend all that money on that, but let's get efficient. Let's find all the waste in the government. I think I found some. Might pee that ad.
Don't worry. Democrats are going to stop them.
Just Chuck Schumer was like, we're gonna vote to allow it to go through. Mm-hmm. Cool, dude. That's awesome. Thanks.
Shutting the government down that's doing the things that they don't want it to do is apparently worse than just allowing it to happen. I don't understand.
It's gonna allow him to accelerate it. Okay, but he's not slowing down, and he's not listening to you guys anyway. So why not make it as hard as
right?
I don't know. And make it.
Fuck this, dude.
If we shut the government down, he can then open parts of it and not open other parts. And that's kind of the thing that they're worried about.
Yeah, and you don't want to shut the government down, but you gotta, I don't know. For me, I would be you can either negotiate with us or not. I'm not gonna vote for this nonsense.
That's what's crazy, right? Because the Republicans are we're not going to vote at all with you guys. You guys got to figure out a way to do it without us or negotiate with us. And then we negotiate with them, and then some of them still go, but fuck you, we're not voting for it. But they're not even willing to negotiate with the Democrats. So
should make them.
Don't get many votes.
I don't want the government to shut down, but just do it, and then they will quickly want to negotiate. You know what I mean? Because they ultimately
don't want that either. They won't, though. This is the problem. Is that they can leave parts of it shut down. You'll see the Department of Education never open again. And that's kind of what the point that Schumer's making is. He's like, I could do this, but the consequences could be far worse than leaving the government open.
I think he's way wrong. I think his first term, he did this, and he lasted, 2 weeks before they threw him some money for, a wall, and he's like, okay.
Right, but he can't, the thing is now, he can't get reelected. He doesn't care. Now he just does whatever the fuck he wants. And that's sort of, there's nothing holding him back anymore. So, he'll just shut it down, and, the fact that the government shut down doesn't affect him personally. It's not going to be yeah, he can't go to his golf course and hang out.
I don't know. Maybe you're right, but I think he still does care about the politics of it and the coverage and this and that. Like, again, he definitely maybe not. Does.
Sent something out today about like attacking the Wall Street Journal because, you know, they criticized him on, the tariffs basically fucking up the economy right now and the stock market and like tying it to that. And he flipped out because like he doesn't like bad press.
Yeah. Again, he seems slightly more immune this time. There is some evidence to just like support what Tony's saying because like he's going ahead with these like tariffs. Or just going back and forth and blah, blah, blah. He like will not budge about it as like everybody's talking. Like the people that control him are like, dude, what are you fucking doing? And he's still is just, we're doing this. It's going to make us stronger and better.
I'm pushing the button. I got the button and I know I can do something with it. And it's like, I kind of like maybe some of these are good. Like maybe he could, but he can't do them all at once. Right? You can't have a trade war with the entire world. It's not possible. You can't win that way. Like maybe you could just do Canada. And then when you're done with Canada, but the way he's doing it is just so.
My problem with Canada and Mexico specifically is he negotiated the previous trade deal.
He's like, we did this deal.
You negotiated it, dude.
This deal sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it's your deal. You're the one that negotiated it. You ripped up the North American Free Trade Agreement. And I don't even know what this one is called. It's probably the Trump Trade Agreement. But
right. Like, he's not going to say it out loud because it's got his name on it.
Yeah. Like, it's your deal. Oh, I don't know. It's every day. It's like something nonsense. So, I don't know. I got an alert from my news station earlier today that they were closing down the Department of Education buildings, like telling everybody they had to be out by 6. Was that?
Yeah.
Like that's real.
A lot of them in Chicago got shut down. They cut the staff by 50%, dude. Like,
yeah, I'd heard that.
It's like a 4,000 person agency. And so, you cut down half. And I'm sure they kind of targeted it too for like the buildings being closed and inflated off there, or I bet you know.
I'm sure. Yeah, like that. Like, hey, we're gonna close down the Department of Education in big cities that are Democrat run because like we actually don't know how the Department of Education runs. So, but if we take all the people away, I guess that'll make it work.
Fix everything.
Yeah,
everything.
I don't know, they don't even have enough people right now as it is. Like my wife's student loans from when she got her doctorate have been in deferment for forever now because they just don't have the people to process the loan currently. So I don't know. Shit's weird. Not related to the insanity that's going on in Tony's hometown. I saw some news today, over the last week, but this one just popped up again for me. Evidently, Jonah Hill's super bad character was so awful that Sony wouldn't let him touch a PlayStation or a PlayStation controller while on screen.
Funny. Like, oh, God. Fuck?
They were like, no, you cannot touch our brand.
Seth Rogen told that story, which is funny because he's like, it was based on, like, I based that character on me. He's like, you're telling me? Like, he was, you know, he was in the meeting with them saying, like, yeah, you can't do this or whatever because we don't like this character. And he's like, but that's me.
the guy that wrote it for you.
Yeah.
Like, this is absolutely goofy. That's funny. Yeah, go ahead.
Bloomberg was reporting today or tonight that they are hearing that the Switch 2 will be $400 or more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still expected.
Well, that makes sense.
Be a successful launch ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does make a lot of sense. Like, my guess is it's probably going to be about the same power level as the current Steam Deck, which is $400, $350, $400. So,
yeah, I think it'll be 400. That number has always been, like, before they started reporting, I was just, like, assuming that's what it would be. You know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, it's not like a new Series X console or something, but it's going to be a lot more advanced than the $300 Switch. So, sounds right, right? Like,
yeah. I do wonder Tony, you said back when the PlayStation Pro was coming out, which I don't think we've heard a whole lot about how successful that went or how many they're selling, but that came out at $700 minus the disc drive.
Yeah. So
roughly $800. And you were kind of thinking that might be where consoles would be getting priced at in the future.
I kind of feel like $400, though, if you like were to factor in inflation, like it's basically the same price that the
Switch. It's the 300 Switch. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like, it's just money's not worth as much as it was.
I just don't think that Nintendo can launch it any higher than that either, though. Like, you know, it's that's the sweet spot for that type of system. I don't know.
It is. We'll see. I guess we'll see how kind of like the buying public is where they're at when that comes out. If it's going to be able to hit
it, right, price. It could be fucking $600. Right. I'm going to be fucking busting through the goddamn door for my Switch.
Too. I mean, it's gonna sell out everywhere.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be hard to get. I know it. It's gonna be so hard to get. I'm gonna be so mad. I won't be able to play Metroid Prime or whatever the fuck the Mario Kart.
Mario Kart World, or who knows? We haven't got a name on it yet. We just know it's a new Mario Kart. That should be coming up soon, or is that in April? Is that the game kind of where they're going to go more in detail?
Okay. Yeah. How do you top Mario Kart 8 with all the add-ons? It's like,
right?
It's got to be like a mass. It has to be massive. Or if they just do like a normal 16 tracks. Here you go.
Be insane. Like, you go from the biggest, most extensive Mario Kart ever to, we're back to 16 tracks and four cups. And
we'll build up onto this over two generations.
Yeah. Another thing that kind of leaked today, sometime today, I think, is that, there's rumors that the Oblivion remake may be hitting next month. I think that seems weird that it would just drop, but maybe.
Oblivion?
Yeah.
I can see it.
You think they would just drop it with, like...
Yeah, I can see it. It depends what it is.
Yeah, it's supposed to be an Unreal 5 remake.
Yeah.
So like not a remaster, like a full on remake of Elder Scrolls 4. So, I think it's probably more likely that it ends up like a Tony Hawk, where we get an announcement soon and then release maybe a little bit later in the summer.
Like yeah, what's Tony Hawk gonna be?
July. Yeah.
Was it not yet?
Yeah, it's with July 11th or something like that. I guess there's news from that one too, though, which I didn't remember because I mean maybe I just didn't play a ton of 4. But 4 kind of had like an open really an open world, but it was like kind of like open area. You could just skate around.
Yep.
And they're changing that. So the maps will be there, but the progression system from 4 will be revised to be more like 3. So it'll just be like time challenges. And
I don't like that. 4 was where it started to get like to branch towards what Tony Hawk Underground became, where it mm-hmm. Yeah, it was more like an open world and you go get quests. And like, I guess the main difference would be like 4 was like, it was levels. Like, I think you would be like in a big kind of open level and then there was quests all over the place. So I don't know how you like reconfigure that to be all 2-minute based. I don't know. Maybe it's just like, again, maybe they strip out the overworld part of it. Like, I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll.
It's been a while. That's how I remember it.
It's we will find out about that in July, though. So,
three, 4 are the best. Like the best of the. That was like 2, but I think like 3. Like they kept building. It kept getting better for a while. I thought. Okay.
And it's hard to, like, you know, once you get up to 4, which was on the, you know, PlayStation 2, that better, it just started to look better, too.
Yeah. But, like, even in the 1 and 2 that we got, like, Tony Hawk 1 plus 2 or whatever, like, that integrated moves that were introduced in 3 and 4 that were not there in 1 or 2, you know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah. Which I think they brought into the 1 and 2 remake, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah,
like you could in 1 or 1 and 2, you could do reverts and stuff, which you could not do in the original.
Yes, the original and 2. Yep.
Yeah.
There is a Space Marine 3 in development. I have not played 2 yet, but so I guess that one did pretty well though last September. Well enough that they are moving forward with Space Marine 3. So, Tony, did you get to play any of Space Marine 2?
I did. I did not enjoy it. I don't know. It's like Gears, but not. I wish it were more like Gears.
That's fair. Be nice if we actually got some Gears news at some point. What's going on with that series?
Nothing. Never happening again. Gears is canceled.
They're supposed to have that E-Day game, but I don't. We don't know when. And the last thing I am seeing here is Power Wash Simulator 2 is going to be coming. I don't know when. I didn't look all the way. I did not watch the trailer, so I didn't see. But we're getting another Power Wash Sim game. I know Jeff is super excited.
Yeah, I finally tried that first one, and it was boring, I thought. A little boring.
I can see that. I enjoyed it, but it was more soothing
for people to do that, to like really find every little grease spot on something or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like find everything, make it all super clean. And there's like a weird, goofy story if you kind of get into
it. Yeah, I heard it, but it was, I'm like, I've cleaned everything. Where's the, like, what else am I looking for? You know, like, it was driving me nuts. So,
you start to learn, you kind of got to be like real meticulous with like cleaning each panel.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then moving on to a new one. Yeah, Wonder Federal. I mean, it did really, really well for that developer. But I think some of it was because it launched in Game Pass. I don't know if they'll launch in Game Pass with this one.
Well, now that like you guys have played it and you liked it, would you pay for a sequel?
No, I would play it on Game Pass again, but no, I
would pay
for it.
Like, I think the first one is priced at like $20 or $25. Probably for that. Like, I enjoyed it enough that yeah, I would do it. Depends on like what the levels are too. Like, you know, what are we cleaning? Is it it needs to be more outlandish than the first one. It can't just be like, all right, we're gonna clean a car again. We're gonna
cruise ship.
Yeah. You know, right, like it needs to be like something stupid and ridiculous, because like that's what it kept advancing. Like as you go on, like you stop at some point cleaning like everyday things to doing like a treehouse in the woods that's shaped like a shoe. So it's like you're doing like fantasy stuff, and at the end you're doing it's an actual alien spaceship that you're like cleaning off. So if they do like weird shit like that, I would need to see what they're kind of like.
Giant statues of Shrek.
No, absolutely not. Nope, I'm out.
They should come out with a
no Shrek.
Like should come out with a window. What do they call them? Window washer. Like those guys that come on the skyscrapers and the fucking.
Yeah. That when they go down like the. Like on the scaffold thing.
Yeah.
Takes you from the top. You know?
Can you imagine doing that for a job? I could never. Absolutely. I would like before like I even like stepped into that thing. Like.
Yeah.
No way. And there's people that do that. And like, it's not like a super high paying job or anything. It's just like, God bless you, man. I guess if you don't care, like, I guess there's some people like that don't have that fear, but fuck no, dude. That could be the last job on earth. I'll be like, I'll die.
That and I watched a YouTube video on, I can't think of the type of dive. They just did a movie with Woody Harrelson. And I'm drawing a blank. I've seen the movie, but they go Last Breath. So they do this diving where they go to the bottom of the ocean and they like, there's all this wiring and shit down there that they have to fix and piping for oil. And, there's these people that go down there, and I watched a video on that job and absolutely not. Fuck off. Nope.
Yeah. I think I can do that. I don't want to get too confident, but I think I could do that. I think I would have been one of those dumbasses that died in that fucking submersible, because it's just, the ocean doesn't scare me. I made my bargain with the ocean, which is if it kills me, well, I died somewhere.
It's the sky that you have a problem with.
Yeah.
You don't want to drop. You just like, yes.
Yeah.
The unending crushing weight of water on top of me is not like a problem. It's
instantly implode. You know, that's, at least I don't have the falling part of it or any of that. You know, it's just like.
Oh, yeah. This video I was watching. So when they go down in the ocean, they have what's called a diving bell. It's how they actually get out into the ocean. They go through this and drop down into the water. Well, that broke off while they were going down.
In the movie?
No, in real life, like this happened. Oh, yeah. It broke off. The pressure like became so fucking insane that the one guy was sucked out of like a tiny window. Tiny little hole. The other two basically boiled to death. Like their blood just, it became so hot. They died, but.
Didn't they do that in Alien 4 where like the alien just gets sucked out of like a
little
hole?
Yes.
Yeah. Just like that.
I remember
that's
that.
The way to go. That's the way to go. Like, hey, man, it's epic.
I mean, my guess is like if that pressure change is so drastic that like there's like explosive shit that like you probably die instantly.
But your fucking brain is like probably exploding at the same time. So it's all good.
It's like that still just nightmarish to think about.
Like I had always heard that like if you die, if you're in a plane crash or something, like I think the explosion from the heat, like from like the fuel or whatever, it's just like so much that your like heart instantly like explodes, like you're just gone, like you're done, like you don't even know. Yeah. I'm hoping to go like in like a slow suffering way when I'm like 90.
Just like take a long time to get there.
They're gonna be like, yeah, they're gonna be like, you know, morphine and shit. That's how I want to go. Morphine. Morphine me to death.
I certainly don't want to be like one of those cleaner people, Jeff, like you were talking about.
That yeah.
Like falls off of there. It's like if you fall from that height.
You have so much time to contemplate. Like, even if it's like, 30 seconds probably, whenever I fall, it's just like so much time to contemplate. Like, this is it. and then you just splat, like you just explode into like a body bag on the ground, like a.
Yep, and even if you hit water at that from that height, oh, it's yeah. just like hitting concrete.
Have you ever jumped off of a high dive board? Oh my god, dude!
No.
So like what
same situation.
I went on. I think it was like 30 foot, like one of the high dive pool in your area that has that. And I'm scared of heights, so I didn't want to look over the edge or think about it or anything. So I just ran off of it and jumped, right? Yeah. Since I was running, I was like in a sitting position when I hit the water, and the whole back, like it was like getting hit like with concrete. And when I was like under the water, I was just like, you know.
Oh yeah,
and like I mean, you're in pain. Afterwards, yes, for weeks after this is, I was like fucking, you know, 12 years old. I was a kid. I would never do anything like this now. But like the whole backside of my legs were just like ultra bruised for weeks after that.
they didn't tell you how to dive off of it? Like
no, man. This is
I assume there's like a way you dive off from that height that to not get hurt.
I think they just like, hey man, if you're
you want to do it, do it.
Yeah.
You're gonna find out real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would assume that like you have to kind of enter the water at a certain angle or something from that height.
I will tell you, even falling from that height, it was like insane. Like there's like this insane.
It's like time slow down for you. Yeah, just like, yeah. This is taking forever. All right, that's all I see for gaming news. What have you guys been playing this week?
I finished Monster Hunter. I rolled the credits.
Okay. I mean, you're not done Monster Hunter,
you're never done with Monster Hunter, right? It never finishes. And then even when you think you're done, they're like, okay, let's add these
12 big new monsters. Yeah. Yes.
But I finished the story. I'm in high rank now. Under the point where you can actually increase your hunter rank outside of the story. I have just barely started that stuff though. So, but I will say, so having played through the whole story, story's good for a Monster Hunter game. Like it's entertaining. It's nice. It's a little touching. The final boss is pretty epic. My children assure me that you only face that boss once and can never face them again, which is very un-Monster Hunter. But the final boss is crazy. It keeps switching its elemental type. Like it does all of these huge attacks across the entire area that you fight. It's just, it's an epic, epic fight. It's a great way to end a storyline.
Yeah.
But I like all of the fights against the monsters in the game. They're all super well designed. I don't know. It's like Monster Hunter as like if you were to design a game in your head, like that's how this game works. I will probably have more to say as I get into like the post game stuff, but having played through the whole story, it's cool. It's a really, really good game.
Nice.
It's definitely like taking World to where World could have been, had it had like the right technology with it. It's a great evolution of the game. So,
how's the new wound system kind of work? Does that add a new element to it, or
it does? So you'll notice like as you're fighting, the monsters in combat, they'll get these like white spots. As you're like hitting the same spot over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you continue to hit it, it'll like start to like bleed in that spot. And then there's like a targeting system that you can like hit a button that will allow you to swing your weapon in a very targeted way to hit the wound.
Yeah.
And when you hit the wound, it will both hurt the monster, which will like either stun or like cause them to stop their attack or whatever. And it also, every time you destroy a wound, it gets you loot. You'll get like a monster part, which encourages you to go after the wounds. Like every time there's a wound, I'm like, oh, I want to take it out because that gets me more stuff. So there's this kind of like wound hunting.
The like stunning aspect of, you know, like they're like down for like a minute. Like,
if you hit the right wound, you can knock the monster down. Some of them it'll just stop whatever their attack is, but like,
does it ever like
attacks you really, really want to stop?
Does it ever do the thing? I just started this game today. This is a new thing too. Ooh. Like the they call it focus.
Yeah.
Does it ever like, because in the other Monster Hunter games, if you like attack a limb enough, like if you attack someone like a tail enough, it'll like chop it off.
Yeah.
Does that ever happen?
Oh still, yeah, no, or? you can still sever sever tails. Some of the monsters have tentacles you can cut off. That stuff is all still in there. The wound is a separate mechanic.
I do love the wound though, because it makes you do that, like at least for like I think you and I are probably playing the same because I'm using the hammer. It makes you do that like spin attack, which is like super, like you could do it otherwise, I think, by hitting Y plus B.
Yeah.
But when you do it with that, it has way more impact at like, yeah, usually we'll stun them, like knock them down so everyone can just start wailing on this thing.
Yeah. I do find, like, apparently this is not, I was reading about the hammer controls and like how to best play with a hammer. I do like to spam the B attack.
Yes, when they're down especially.
And I do it all the time. Apparently you're not supposed to do it all the time. the Y attack is much faster.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Like,
because the B attack, like, if you get into that combo at the end, that does huge damage.
Yes, I
feel like it's almost always worth it. But I'm guessing as the monsters get bigger and move faster, that's not going to be possible.
So, Chris, you know, Y is like your regular attack. Yeah. This is me playing with the hammer, so I don't know. Like, I'm sure that the other weapons play very differently. I just have no weapon in these games. But, you know, Y is your regular attack, and B they call Big Bang. And it's just like you swinging the hammer down, like up above your head and swinging it down. But when you do it, it'll say like Big Bang 1, Big Bang 2, Big Bang 3, Big Bang 4, and then it'll be like final. I forgot what it's called, final big break or something. And then you just like, do like this swing around and then down it again. And it's a huge, massive attack that'll do like way, way more damage than the first four. So yeah, anytime I see that the creature go down, I walk up to it and start doing B, 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 hoping to get the last one off before the last part of that combo off before it gets up and gets away from me.
That's cool. So Jeff, you're enjoying it so far?
Yeah, it's fun. I think like what I said last time before I bought it, where I was like, I could probably just download an old one and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I paid full price for this, and like, do I regret this or not? Like, I don't know. I bought a day off. I ran out of things to play, and I was like, fuck it. Like, I actually like looked at like, all right, what's out? Just that, basically. And I'm like, what's coming out? The only thing I'm like looking forward to for sure, like soon ish, that Clear Obscur.
Yep.
Expeditions.
That's like later in April.
Late April. So like I have to get from now to late April. And I was like, yeah, I'm busy for like a month. And I just didn't see anything else. So I was just like, it's either that or replay something. I didn't really feel like replaying anything. And so, yeah, I got it today. And, you know, nothing bad. Like, Monster Hunter's fun. Like, it's still just very much Monster Hunter. It just has, like, some streamlining. Some, you know, some nice little improvements for sure. But it's still, like, it's, like, the question you have to ask yourself before buying this game is, do I like my, and if you do, you should buy it. If you don't, you should not. I do think it's easier for sure. I don't know about you, Tony.
Oh yeah. I zoomed through this campaign. Like, I think I carded, you know, when you get downed, I think I carded twice during the entire campaign. Like, during the final boss fight, I came so close. I almost got knocked down. I had like this little sliver of health. And of course, both my kids are standing behind me, watching me and yelling and screaming as I'm in the middle of the
fight. I finally tonight the Uth finally that knocked me out. Like he was like taking big damage on me.
Uth Duna was the first one that got me.
Yeah. And but like I had no problem. Or like, you know, I got there and he was still like, you know, limping around. But other than that,
the other one that got me was Guardian Rathalos.
Okay.
So
otherwise though, anything else I fought before that, I was like totally fine. You could call in help. Like it's so much easier.
And you call in the AI help, which arrives like instantly.
Yes, yeah. And you could like hop on your mount in the middle of battle to like sharpen your weapons, and so like it's automatically moving around in a view. There's so many things that like make it easier. Actually, my favorite thing, it's not something that makes it easier per se, but my favorite thing is just the mount in general. Like the way it'll like auto, like you just get on it and it just goes where you're supposed to go. Except, I don't know if you saw it. Like, I forgot if you talked about this, Tony. Like, when you first start the game, they tell you that. They're like, hey, yeah, you hop on your mount, it'll just automatically go. Like, troll it if you want, but it'll go where you need to go. But when you start the game, I started just wandering. Like, I was like, you're going nowhere near the boss. Like, where are you going? And it's literally because, like, by default, in the settings, it has auto explore on as well. Where, like, you could just, like, hop on. Yeah, you could just hop on these mounts and they'll just, like, wander around on their own. And so it's, like, sometimes like that gets triggered over, like, where I'm supposed to be going. Like, I literally, like, he was, like, taking me across the map. I'm like, where? Like, you're going the opposite way. What are you doing? Sean, I'm like, Sean, dude, why? Isn't this mount supposed to take me where I'm supposed to be going? He's like, dude, you need to turn off auto explore. And then I go into settings and I found it. And I was like, why would that be a default thing that's on? Where, like, this thing, you just get on it and it wanders wherever the fuck it wants. Like, I was just like, what the fuck? And as soon as I turned it off, it was now it fucking, you know, beeline to the fucking, like, wherever I'm supposed to be going. And that's great. Right. I love it. Cause you just, like, you can just, like, refill your health while you're on it. And then do the dismount when you find
the boss. That's the best thing, is like
jumping on the boss,
being able to sharpen while moving towards the next spot where the boss is.
I love though when you like roll up on the boss, you can jump, and like when you dismount, you kind of jump, and if you get lucky, you can land on the boss and start stabbing them, and then do a finisher move, like do massive damage right off the bat. It's fun.
Sounds fun. Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you like Monster Hunter, it's an easy recommend. It's just, I think it's still very much that game. It's just, they keep finding ways to, like, I don't know, make it a little bit better. You know, like, little quality of life things.
I mean, this sounds like, because, like, what was the one we played? Was it on the Wii or the Wii U, Jeff, that we played there?
That would be Tribe, probably.
Yeah, that one, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I played that with you and Fozzie, and I was like, this is fucking insane. Well, I played World with you guys as well. I'm like, oh, this is
that more... That made sense. Yeah,
it's starting to make sense, but it's still like, if you didn't have people after a certain point, like, I was not progressing, because, like, you guys had already moved on, or were way ahead, or we weren't playing at the same time, and, like, you know, you throw up your flare or whatever, and people may show up, they might not, and then they get there and they're just kind of dicks and leave. And so it was like,
that's actually the best part. So if you shoot up a flare, the game will start sending the AI guys immediately. And then if you're on a server that includes other players, if the players decide to join, they'll start replacing the AI guys. So you always have help no matter what happens.
Yeah. That's cool. Cause like, I kind of liked it, and I liked like the world that they created in World, but I never got like past the halfway point.
I will say a funny thing about the game is that, like, no matter how many Monster Hunter games you've played, anytime you come back to them, there's the learning curve. because for one, they do change things like that. That's the thing that's changed, you know, like there's always like these little changes, but also you have to remember where like the ass way, like everything is in it. Like it's like, okay, I got to hold down LB and then to cycle through my items. It's not left or right. It's X or B buttons to cycle through. And you just like, oh my God, this is just like, no matter what, there's a learning curve to it. But like, I think curve is totally in this one, but like, it's just so much easier. Like, it's just so much like,
yeah,
you roll over so many of these fucking bosses. Nope. Like, you're talking like, you know, my average time for a boss fight probably early on here is like 8 minutes compared to like,
yeah,
used to be like a half hour struggle.
Yes, absolutely. I think initially, certainly the boss fights are way, way quicker. You'll get to the ones at the end. They'll be much longer.
Yeah.
Like you kind of expect that. These are like final boss enemies. They should take longer.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. It's just like when you're on like the fourth boss in world and it's like, it's not even the boss. Like it's like the fourth monster you're sent out to hunt. This is a 45 minute fucking fight. Like,
yeah, I have never, like, even the beer bosses I've fought so far have been, like, 10, 15 minutes, and, like, you kind of want that. That's, like, what the flavor of the game is, like, just beating the shit out of this thing, and then, like, the fucking satisfaction when they finally fall. But, yeah, this is, like, a much more friendly, again, the learning curve is always going to be there with these games, but, like, it's just much more friendly in general, even the seasoned players or whoever, it's just, like, it's not that hard. And just like a little, quality of life things. Like, hey, instead of trying to navigate their fucking stupid maps, you just hit up, your mount comes, you get on it, and your mount goes towards, like, you start galloping.
You don't even have to worry about where the monster is. Like, the mount knows. It just knows.
Especially, that's you know how, like, in mid-fight, the monsters will run away on you to go recover? Well, you just call your mount, and your mount just starts following them. Like, you don't have to, like, keep them in sight and figure out, or look at your map and figure out which region they went to. You're just going to go to wherever they're going.
All right.
I like it. It's not quite your thing. It's hard to recommend it at $70, but if you like Monster Hunter, it's a good one.
I'm not like I'm gonna rush out to play because I have enough going on right now, but it is something that like sounds like, you know, from what Tony was saying, you can solo it, like even if your friends have moved on, like
you don't need
people. And
although I would like to call like Sean and Tony in, like fight one of my shit, like HR2 bosses or whatever they call it, like yeah. These bosses, I think they're chopped. They probably walk in and just be like, bam, bam.
And kill them, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's like level 80 or something like that now.
So. Sean has played like 75 hours or whatever already. I don't know how he does this, but he did.
I mean, he just gets invested in one thing. And
he's like me, where it's like I just get into the one game and that's it, yeah.
All right, cool. I'll keep an eye out for a sale. I have plenty coming up. Like I got Assassin's Creed next week. I got South of Midnight early April and Clair Obscur at the end of April. So I'm not hurting for new stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I was looking forward to Assassin's Creed, I might have waited for that. Because again, I feel like I'm just playing Monster Hunters. But I looked at it, I was like, what will I like more?
Yeah,
and it was like for me, it's Monster Hunter. I'll probably play South of Midnight, maybe, but like, you know, the thing I was looking forward to was so far off that I was like, I'm just gonna get Monster Hunter then because I know I'll sink like probably at least 60 hours into it. So
nice. Another new game. We'll circle back to what the other stuff you guys have been playing, but kind of wanted to hit the other new game that's out there, and I played it, Split Fiction.
Oh yes.
I played the first three chapters of it with a friend, and you need a friend. You definitely need a friend. It it's a delight. Both of us were just like laughing our way through it. Gameplay is great. The story is interesting enough. So this, you play as two writers, which I think is kind of like evident from the trailers. You play as two writers. They're unpublished writers at the time that this game starts. And they've been invited to a publisher to kind of like, you know, hey, bring a story. And we're going to, you know, basically audition you to get one of you guys is going to get published. They bring eight people in. They get there. They have them put on these like space suits. And it's like, this is fucking weird. And go stand on these orbs. And so like the one writer who you play as one of them. She's just like, nah, I'm not into like this is fucking weird. Like, why is that guy now up in a bubble? And like, he looks unconscious. I'm out. So she starts to like try and like, no, you can't. Like, we've already started the process. And like, she pushes. She ends up in the same bubble as this other girl. What you find out is that this publisher is utilizing this device to suck all the creativity that they have in their head to basically, it's like an AI learning model. Except it's just like tapping into people's brains. So it's like very, very on point with shit that's going on today, where it's like this big corporation is just unsolicitedly stealing shit from writers.
Yeah.
And it's like they've tricked these writers to show up and steal their ideas under the premise that like, hey, one of you or maybe a couple of you will actually get a publishing deal. There's no publishing deal to be had. They're just here to steal their ideas. But on the other side of that, in the bubble, in their head, they are experiencing their creativity. The stories they have written. So that's how the levels are kind of set up. The one girl is a science fiction writer. The other girl's a fantasy writer, and you'll kind of flip flop. So a level will be like it'll be the story of the science fiction writer, and then you know another level will be the story of the fantasy writer. We've only played three. The first one kind of has you flipping back and forth because it's the tutorial, and it kind of gives you the basics of you know it's a platformer at its core. There is some combat at times, but it is mostly a 3D like
platforming and puzzles and.
Yeah. Whatnot. Yes. Yeah. Very much puzzles. Like you have to work with your partner. Like it's not just like. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Like there's a puzzle very early on where it's like, all right, so I can get over here because like I have, you know, the special ability that my character has is like a gravity shift in this science fiction world. So like I can shift onto that wall. And then shift to another wall to get across this big gap. But my friend, he can't. Like, his power is, like, she has a whip, like a gravity whip. So she can grab things, but she can't jump to where I'm at. So I have to get over to this platform and hit a ball to them. It's like a big steel ball. And, like, she'll grab it on her end and then throw it through something to break a window so then they can climb up and climb across a bridge. Like, it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
It gets more intricate as it goes on, like, where you actually have to, like, team up. So, like, in a later level, I have the ability to turn into, like, a fish-type creature. I think maybe a salamander. But I can go under the water, so I can do things under there. She has the ability to turn into a fairy, but not like she can't go in the water. And she can only fly short distances. So I have to like get her onto this platform and then drag the platform across the water so that they can then progress from there. So it's like stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Or like there's a driving sequence where like I'm driving or they're in the turret, something like that. Like it's a lot of back and forth. There's these side missions, which I think they call side stories, and they're just like short stories that the characters have written, like lore wise for the game, like how it's presented is like, oh, this is a short story I wrote when I was six or whatever. And the one I'm thinking of right now is it's the fantasy writer. She wrote it when she was like a little girl, and you're both pigs. And the one pig just farts rainbows and can fly. It's like dumb shit like that. It's like really
a little funny. Kid would have written.
Yeah. Like something a little kid would have written, like everything's like really big because like perspective is different as a kid. Like, it's just kind of funny. Like, I think, in fact, my friend and I, we were both like, both these characters kind of suck, but the writing is good enough. Like, and it's funny. They're not good people. They're both kind of stupid. And my character in particular, I'm playing the sci-fi character. She's just kind of an asshole. It's like that my friend's character was like trying to explain the story in the level that we did for that. And my character's like, I don't care about why you wrote it. And it's like both me and him though were like we want to hear the explanation because it gives us context on how to survive. Which she actually, the fantasy writer actually calls out. She's like, I'm just trying to give you an idea of what to expect going forward. It's like, oh, that makes sense. So it's like some interesting writing. It's some of it's really funny. There's a lot of like the video game call outs, like you'll see stuff and they'll just like make like a quick quip about like a game or something, and it's like you're doing something that you would do in that game. It's like neat. It's a ton of fun. Unfortunately, I think it's a game that like, and Jeff and I were talking over text about it. And it is a game that I think like if I wasn't playing with this friend, like I would probably burn through it. But he only really can play on the weekends, so I have to wait.
Yeah.
To advance. But also playing with a random, I think I would just I would have been screwed. Yes. Because like I know who I'm playing with, and like I know how they're playing and how they're thinking through things, but like we're still communicating. Like we're talking to each other. Yeah. If I'm playing with a random that's not communicating with me, like I would just flip out.
Their games capture like the fun of playing with a friend. Like that's what their games are about. And you just like, as much as I would love to have a bot or a ray out, like that's not what their game is about. Like, you know, it takes you kind of back to like, you play a game with your buddy, like we're just trying to get through the game together.
Yep.
They're like, that's, it's designed for that, which is like, again, I have not played this one. I've played some of It Takes Two, which I played it with my who she was like not as into it because we'd be yelling at each other and stuff. But like what I played is just absolutely brilliant. Like for all the bluster of that guy that runs that studio, like what they are aiming for is something that is like so pure and awesome, and also like counterintuitive to making money or anything, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, here's a game that you can only play with a friend. And I kind of love that they're just like, well, because they want people to play it, like, your friend could play it with you, they don't have to buy it, but like, it's still like, I don't know, there's just nothing else out there like that, and like, their games being so dependent on that, like. It Takes Two is exactly the same way. Like it has like charming story, like you're into the story, and also like it's totally reliant on you two figuring it out together and being able to work in tandem, like coming up with a solution.
Yeah,
it's just, that's why like I think the only added spin here that I see that I really love is that it kind of splits the difference between like, you know, sci-fi and fantasy. I think that's really neat. I totally forgot about that aspect. Now I wish I had downloaded it and forced you to play the first three missions again.
I mean, but, yeah. so like I would still play it with you, Jeff, because I think there's value in playing as the other person. So like, I'm only experiencing it as the sci-fi person right now in worlds. And like, I know that like what my friend is seeing, even like the one thing that we both did complain about, and it's not a big complaint, but even though we're like, we're not in the same house, like he's an hour away from me. It's played split screen. So like you are seeing what he's seeing
no matter what. Yeah.
You're focusing on your stuff. So I'm really not paying attention to what he's seeing. And it's also not the same as like, you know, cause it's different gameplay mechanics that he has. And so like, yeah, it's fun. It is. It's a beefy game. I did. it's 90, 89 gigs, I think, Jeff.
That's my other problem with it.
It's huge. It's a huge game.
I just downloaded the new Monster Hunter, which is a massive game, and that was like 55 gigs. And so I don't know what they're doing with their file size over. It sounds like a game that should be like under 50. But
Because I think it looks good, but it doesn't look amazing.
It's just such a limited, narrow scope type of game that I just don't understand that. Seems so nuts.
They're being published by EA, but I don't know if Hazelight is actually owned by EA or not. So I don't know if maybe like just to cut corners, they're not compressing stuff properly, or it's really, it gets wild that it is that big of a game. But it's a ton of fun. I'll give you guys another example in the second main level, so the third level. It's a fantasy level. At one point, so my character can turn into a gorilla or this salamander creature to like do the water stuff, or the gorilla can like climb on stuff like Donkey Kong style. And the other character can turn into like Groot, basically like a walking tree or the fairy. And at one point, the Groot character melds into another tree. And that character then can manipulate the environment. So, like, I have to platform and time my jumps with how he's manipulating the environment. So he's, like, twisting things, turning things. It's, really, really cool. But it's, like, it gets a little frustrating because it's, like, 1, 2, 3, and he's, like, already gone at 2. Or
No, I get it. But that's the fun of, like, the fun of their game. Like, at least It Takes Two, that was the fun of that. Like, I was just, like, so impressed by that game. Like, I totally got why it won Game of the Year when it came out. Like,
The other thing I'll say about it is that, it's super impressive to me because, like, I was not expecting a beefy game. I'm like, you know, maybe 8-10 hours. Each of these levels, so we played on Friday night and Saturday night. We played 5 hours total. It's like 2.5 hours for like
each chapter. Can you like, hey, we'll finish this level tomorrow or no?
Yeah, you can stop and it saves it where it's at. It's
fine,
yeah. I think like if we had played, Jeff, I think it then actually no, because you can actually, there's checkpoints. So if like we played, we would start at the beginning and move on. But then I could, when I play with him again, I'd be like, all right, we were at the first checkpoint in chapter 3. So we just start chapter 3 again, or chapter 4. We were at the first checkpoint in chapter 4. So like, yeah, you can kind of pick and choose, where you want to jump in at. So yeah, you could start wherever.
I love that these guys are what they're doing. Like, it's just, I hope they keep going. Unique. Yeah. Again, you know, I have not partaken as much as I wish. I just love they're making games like this. I love, basically, like, this sounds like It Takes Two plus, but like fantasy meets sci-fi. Oh my god, that's so cool.
And it, like, it's, I mean, and it is very much like amateurish writing. Like the way the stories are presented. Like, The first one is like, you're a cyber ninja in like this dystopian world, and she like likes to blow shit up all the time. So like the other character's like, man, you like blow up everything. Gee, isn't it cool? But then in like the fantasy world, it's like a little more laid back and more chill, except when there's like a whole town full of trolls or something chasing you and you're platforming on top of houses while they're chasing you around. Like, it's really neat. Like the different perspectives, and it's the way it bounces back and forth. So each time we play, it's like we're getting a different kind of vibe because it's a different story that's being told. So yeah, Split Fiction, really cool. And I'm glad Earl threw that code up last week because I ended up getting it for the $40 at Newegg instead of the $50 it is. Or I guess it would be $45 with Game Pass because it's you get the Game Pass discount because it's an EA game. But anyway, it's really cool. You guys play anything else this week?
I finished Avowed.
Okay. How'd the end of Avowed treat you?
Fine. I don't really remember how it even all ended. Playing it late at night. I do remember that the ending went on for like ever, like way longer than I thought. Like in terms of like, I think I'm heading to the end. Oh no, I'm not at the end yet. Oh, I'm almost at the end. Oh, now I get to like, hey, this is the point of no return. I tell you that. And it still went on forever after that. Like I thought it was a pretty long ending, so there was that. But I don't think my opinion changed about it at all. Really, I think that I like Avowed quite a bit. Like, I don't know. Where do you ultimately land on it, Chris? Like,
I liked it. It's a good, decent one of those games.
Yeah, I never got into the story at all. I didn't care about anything that was happening, unfortunately, which kind of a problem for a game like that. But like I just felt like it was like an upgrade of Skyrim in a lot of ways in terms of the gameplay, like just the production, like that, like the graphics and stuff like that. Yeah. But like, it's just like, hey, what if we took Skyrim but added a lot more platforming to it? And I do think there was a lot of like really like confusing or interesting platforming to it. You're like, how the fuck do I get over here? And you figure it out, and that was
there's
good.
It's like full levels because there's like death traps and stuff you have to traverse, and it's like it's really neat.
So that kept me into it though. Like I was just like, oh, well, that's cool. Like, you add platforming to this, and you add, like, a heavy emphasis on crafting. It's cool.
How much did you guys use the magic?
Not much. I was not a magic character, so I did.
I am playing as a wizard.
Okay.
And like, so I played a little, like, I played for a couple hours today. And so you have these spell books that give you access to, like, the actual...
The grimoires?
The grimoires, yes.
Yeah.
And the difference between the level 1 grimoires and the level 5 grimoires is insane.
Like, I had a superb one by the end of it. Like,
yeah, I mean, I went from feeling like I'm not doing anything, I need to run and hide all the time. Now I feel like a god, and I'm only using like the second level grimoire. Like, I'm casting, like, lightning spells, and, oh, everything's dead. The lightning, like, I just watch the lightning, like, bounce from enemy to enemy to enemy, and as they just, like, just fall dead. The magic is cool. I like that I feel so powerful. Cool.
I do like that as, I played as a warrior, or barbarian, or whatever they call it in this, that I was able to have as a second, like, my secondary weapon through the whole game was a wand and a grimoire, but I was mostly using like burn spider webs or whatever, whatever environmental thing I needed, like those panels you have to electrocute to get them to activate, stuff like that. I was using it just for that. In the combat itself, I was mostly just using my hammer after a point because I was so powerful with that, like, it made no sense. But, like, one thing I did like about the game is that, like, it allowed you to be a little versatile with that, where you could choose, like, I would imagine a lot of people would choose, like, if they were, like, playing my type of character. The secondary would be like a gun. But I was able to get through it, you know, just doing elemental magic. I think it's like a very solid game that does like nothing wrong, but also at the same time, I was just like, as soon as I beat it, I wasn't, I guess this is the telling thing, is I wasn't interested enough to like, oh, I want to play through as a wizard to see how that is. I just deleted it immediately. It's gone now. I deleted the game to make space. But, you know, I have nothing like that about it. I thought it was pretty enjoyable.
It's a good one of those games. Like, I didn't need a game I was going to live in either, so I was fine with it. Thought it worked really well.
Yeah, I just, there's something about it. Again, there's something missing. Because like, with me, with these RPGs lately, it's like, you know, like Pillars of Eternity. Or not Pillars of Eternity, I can't always say that. Path of Exile.
Mm-hmm.
That game, I played through like the first three like chapters or whatever as one character. I played it as another character. I played it as another, like, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted to try every class and try to conquer it. Like, see how those classes felt. And to me, this was like, it was very solid all around. I loved everything that they did with the formula. The other day when I was done, I was like, all right, see ya. That's space on my hard drive coming back to me. Yes, I doubt it'll be my game of the year. Would it be my game of the year so far? Probably.
I mean, how much of stuff have you played so far this year, Jeff? Like,
Monster Hunter?
Yet? Yeah. I mean, you've only played like a few hours of Monster Hunter.
And so Monster Hunter, so. It's just Monster Hunter. It's like it's a known factor. I mean, I guess this is a known factor too a little bit, but I do think they missed the formula enough that like. I really did enjoy the platforming and like finding the chests everywhere and stuff. Like, I really liked that part of it.
The one thing I hope Bethesda takes from Avowed and Outer Worlds is Obsidian's parties. Like, their characters have like their party members have like actual character to them, and you know. I mean, in Skyrim, like your party member is really just there to, all right, like I'm going to join up with you,
well,
because you're needed for a quest or whatever, and then they're silent forever.
I hear what you're saying, but I would apply that way more to Baldur's Gate. Like, I think Baldur's Gate really made you like care about all these characters, and we're like, that's the thing is like. Playing this, like, when I play Baldur's Gate, I'm always interested in the conversation and what's going on. And here I'll be like, skip, skip, skip. Okay, yep. I get the gist. I do a lot of skipping.
It's just not interesting. In the general world, though, like, they feel lively.
Yeah, they're good.
When you're walking, when you're walking in Skyrim, like, your member doesn't say shit. Like, even in Starfield, like, occasionally they'll say something. But I also think having two people in your party is like a nice change as well. Like, normally you only have one, like in Starfield, you're only rolling with one person. And this, you can have two with you at all times. So it's a nice change. Makes the dynamic a little bit different.
Yeah. It's just, you're never going to reach the height. It's sort of like in Shadow Art and Gale. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'll never forget those characters from Baldur's Gate 3, which is so crazy for me. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm not usually like interested in. And here, I once again was not. I was just like, all you
people. Like, people want to have sex with Garrus. I don't understand why. I don't get it. Never says anything.
I'd say he's just a fish dude. All right, well, so you enjoyed Avowed.
Yeah.
But it's over now.
It was so great.
Moving on. Tony, you play anything else?
Nope. Oh wait, I guess I played a lot of NBA 2K.
Mm-hmm.
My character's in the NBA Finals. I will say there's this thing that annoys me about the game. This is gonna sound really weird. But so your character has like rivals, like rival teams, rival players.
Yeah.
And in those games, your character will be like on fire. Like there's like this mechanic where his bar fills up, whatever. But you'll be on fire for the whole game. Which means that when you're on fire, your coach doesn't take you out of the game. Just leaves you in.
Oh.
So I'm playing in the playoffs right now. I was facing off against the Oklahoma City Thunder. My rival, Chet Holmgren, plays for the Thunder. So my player was on fire for the entire series. I mean, it was nice to be on fire the entire series. My player was putting up like 125 points a game, which is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's what a whole team scores.
Right? Well, my team was scoring like 200 points a game. Guy was putting up 125 points, but also getting like 15 or 20 assists. Because I'm a point guard. But it makes the game so long because my player never comes out of the game. I sit there and I'm basically playing this entire 48-minute basketball game.
Oh.
Breaks. So the games are all taking me like an hour and a half to play through. I mean, it's great to dominate. It's great. Like, I hold every, like, playoff scoring record, assist record now. Like, I have the record for steals in a game. Like, that, awesome. It's great that my player has all those things. But I tell you, these games, like, my team is up by 60 points. And I'm like, this game needs to end.
It's you could just take me out. They're not coming back.
please take me out for the love of God. There was one game I fouled out with, like, 4 minutes to go. And I was like, thank God. To sit down.
And then like once you're sitting, can you like sim through the
soon as you're sitting, the game starts to sim instead of having to play. So that's great. I liked getting to that point, which sounds really, really weird.
I need to foul out on purpose. Like
yes.
That's funny. 125 points a game is also insane. Like just
yes.
Absolutely goofy.
The playoff, the record for points scored in a playoff game, by the way, is 63. That means anything. You're like
doubling it up.
Yes. Doubling up the all-time scoring record in each game.
All right. Well, real quick, I played three other things. I played all the way through Ninja Gaiden 2 Black. That's a great remake of Ninja Gaiden 2, which I think is my favorite 3D Ninja Gaiden game. And, you know, it plays super well. And I think 4, you know, if they kind of hit those same highs, and Platinum's helping them on it, so maybe they'll deliver something really cool there. But Ninja Gaiden 2 on Game Pass, like, just really good action game.
What's
good? Big game. The back half of that, not even the back half, the last like four levels of that game, though, much like the first Ninja Gaiden, just kind of shitty. Like you're in the underworld and it just becomes a boss rush, with like maybe occasional like little enemy spurts between there. And it also just stops. Like there's like cool platforming throughout the rest of it, and once you get to the underworld, it's there's no like they lose all that. They lose any of the fun wall running and double jumping and swinging and platforming, and like all that's gone. It's just walk in a straight line, get to the next boss arena, and like each level is you're gonna face off like against three bosses and then move on to the next level. It's just kind of shitty design at that point, but other than that, really good third person action game. Also finished Anthem.
Ooh. I almost counted on this as this. What are you doing?
Yeah, so well, a different group of friends, they we're trying to find something to like play. My one friend is like super cheap. He's still playing on an Xbox One. So like we're limited as to like what we can play with him.
I have that friend.
Yeah. So and he doesn't buy stuff. Like, so it's like you have to find a game on Game Pass. Like, what do you want to play? He didn't want to play Borderlands. I don't even know if it's on Game Pass anymore. But it ended up like, hey, I started Anthem, like played, I don't know, maybe 5 or so hours of it when it first came out, but never finished it. Like, do you guys want to play that? Sure. So we played through that. It's fine. Like, I think the mission wise, like it's great. It's like, you know, if you're only gonna play like an hour with your friends or something, like you can get through like 2 or 3 missions because they're only about 15, 20 minutes a piece. I don't know. It's one of those things where I think the final boss, the final level is really cool. And it does some neat things. And then the ending is very much like, we're going to keep this going. Like, so they introduced a threat in the post-credit sequence. That's like, I guess it's implied that like that will be what would be coming, but they shut that game down.
Right.
Like it's still up. You can there are still people playing. Yeah, it's any day now, right?
You guys brought it back, actually.
Yeah, it's us. There are other people playing it. It's like
it's wild.
Really weird because like there's a whole section where you to advance in the story, you have to do these world events. Or basically you have to go into the free play of the world and do stuff there. They call them challenges, but you have to like do a certain amount of things in free play. And there's always people playing. Like it's wild that like they're just by themselves too. Like I'm at least with 2 other people. Like they're out here playing Anthem by themselves, level 30. Rolling around in their Iron Man suit. Like it's glad you guys found a game you like. I don't know. Yeah. So it's fine. It's a decent enough live service multiplayer game. Like
it's still alive.
Yeah, it's somehow still there. Like
it's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, finally, Anthem. I finished the story. I think we have like 5 or 6 side missions left to do, so we probably go through that, and then I'll jump through. And there's like 6 or so achievements for exploring everything entirely. They actually give you a checklist, like you can check the challenges. And so I just like I'll go on one of the achievement sites. And it's like, all right, where on the map do I have to do this to find this thing that I haven't gotten yet? And just go pop the rest of them. But yeah, Anthem, done. And just to follow up on Jack 2, I really, really don't like Jack 2. Game's like, I feel really bad going into this VG club with Paul, who goes by Daxter. It is like one of his favorite series ever.
These games suck.
I absolutely hate it. Like, it is a miserable, miserable game. Like,
that's funny.
And at this point, I'm just playing it out of spite. Like, it's like I'm gonna beat it so that when we talk about this, I can tell you all the ways that I dislike it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that series became as popular as it did. Like, it got 6 games.
I mean, I've played snippets of them. I don't remember them being like way worse than anything else, like you know, any other platformer. But I guess
the first one, like if you can get past the bad camera, it's an N64 platformer, right? Like it's Banjo-Kazooie, but with different characters. It's fine. I don't like it, and I think the camera's bad, but it's fine. Jack 2 is like, hey, we made a GTA clone.
Yeah, that's supposed to be where it took off.
Yeah, but like to get so what, you know, the cool thing about GTA, right, is like you steal a car, you hop in it, you drive to the point on the map. But the map makes sense, right? Like, and you start to understand landmarks and you learn the city, right? The map in this is so fucking convoluted, and every building looks exactly the same. But it's like a giant spider web of shit. So like you constantly have to pause the game, bring up the map. All right, I got to go up past these two buildings that look exactly the same. Make a right. So then go up to there, and then there's going to be three buildings that look exactly the same, and I got to split to the left and go down the far left path. Like, it's just a horribly designed city. The missions themselves are like, hey, we're going to give you 2 minutes. You have to do like 10 things in those 2 minutes. And also, we're going to send every enemy in the city after you while you're doing it. And your car, it can only take 2 hits before it blows up. And you can only take 4 hits as Jack before you die. So good luck. 2 minutes, clock, go. Like, it's like, that's just not fun to like do. And I kind of complained a little bit about it. And I got in some people on the different social media platforms being like, yeah, I don't like that game either for exactly the same reasons you're saying you don't like it. Like, it's like, oh, because I thought I was crazy because everyone's like, Jack 2's where it's at, man. Like, Ratchet and Clank is where it's at.
Yeah, just Jack and Daxter and go right to Ratchet. That shit's always good.
They give Jack a gun in this one, except, like, I think that's what I like about Ratchet, right, is Ratchet's a platformer, but when they give you a gun, they give you actual, like, shooter mechanics to go with it.
Yeah, and tons of different guns.
And there's different weapons. Like, you get a rifle, you get a shotgun, and you get a machine gun in this, which is fine. Like, you know, it's enough variety, I guess. There's nothing super special about either one, except there's no actual aiming mechanic, unless you want to stop and go into first person. Which at that point, then you're frozen and the enemies can shoot you because you can't move when you're in that. It's like in Ratchet, though, like you're strafing and like there's a lock on. I think at least the combat in Jack would be a whole lot better if there was a lock on of some sort. Like, if I could lock on to an enemy instead of just like hoping, all right, am I lining this up? Like, my point is Jack pointed enough in the right direction that the shotgun blast will hit something? Oh no, I wasn't, and it has killed me now. Cool, that's fun. Yeah, no, don't like Jack 2, but I'm almost done it, so I'll be bringing my grievances to Daxter himself.
Daxter.
All right. Well, I think that is it for us. No Earl, but I think next week we're going to discuss Street Fighter. I'm sure you guys did not watch Street Fighter, but
I will not.
That's fair. I like
joy in my life, and that does not sound like it will bring me joy.
Just maybe we just read the Wikipedia and be like, yeah, I'm going to rate this a D or something. I don't know. also, we're going to do a March Madness Hall of Fame tournament, which Earl is kind of come up with an idea here of 85, 95, and 2005. Tony, you said 2015, which is like 5 years early on entry. Okay. All right. So we'll each bring a game from those 4 years, and we'll pit them against each other next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Hello! Good night.